his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Greetings. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives. That's where you go to support the podcast and all that fun stuff. And I just want to take a minute and say thank you to all of you who support the podcast, who pray for the podcast. It's so far beyond what I deserve for the privilege to do this good work. And this is the good work that God has prepared for me. And it's a privilege for me to do it, and I'm blessed to do it. And I'm always humbled and amazed that people are willing to support it. So thank you so much. Also, people ask a lot about how do you listen to the podcast on an Android? And I think it's because many people are listening to it through iTunes. You can just download the SoundCloud app. That's the host that I host the podcast on. So you can, and that's on every device. It's available for every device. So it's called SoundCloud. It's free. Download that and then search for the podcast there. All right, today we are resuming our study in the Dead Sea Scroll book, known as the Ancient Book of Jubilees. And if this is a new book to you, you're not familiar with it, please go back through the archives and find the first episode from a few weeks ago where I explain all that. But basically, this is a book that's been included in several different Bibles around the world. And it was also found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it was one of the largest manuscript finds with the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Book of Jubilees, it just kind of has some more gap-filling information about some of the things that took place in Genesis. So it's kind of a companion to Genesis. We don't treat it with the same reverence that we do for the Book of Genesis found in the canon. But I think these are worth paying attention to, these books that were found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. They were believed by that culture to be scripture, so for whatever that's worth. All right, we're ready. We're doing chapter 13 and 14 today out of the Book of Jubilees. And this is dealing with Lot and Abraham coming into Canaan, the birth of Ishmael, and the covenant with God that Abraham makes. So let's stop rambling and let's dig right in. So chapter 13, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from Haran, and he took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother, Hanan's son, to the land of Canaan. And he came into Ashur and proceeded to Shechem, and dwelt near a lofty oak. And he saw, and behold, the land was very pleasant, from the entering of Hamath, to the lofty oak. And the Lord said to him, To thee and to thy seed will I give this land. And he built an altar there, and offered thereon a burnt sacrifice to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain of Bethel, and on the west, and Ai on the east, and pitched his tent there. And he saw, and behold, the land was very wide and good, and everything grew thereon, vines of figs and pomegranates, oaks and ilexes, and terebinths, and oil trees, and cedars, and cypresses, and date trees, and all the trees of the field, and there was water on the mountains. And he blessed the Lord who had led him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and brought him to this land. And it came to pass in the first year, and in the seventh week, on the new moon of the first month, that he built an altar on the mountain, and he called on the name of the Lord. Thou, the eternal God, art my God. And he offered on an altar a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord, that he should be with him and not forsake all the days of his life. And he removed from thence and went towards the south, and he came to Hebron, and Hebron was built at that time, and he dwelt there 2 years. And he went thence into the land of the south, to Beeloth, and there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went into Egypt in the third year of the week, and he dwelt in Egypt 5 years before his wife was torn away from him. Now Tanias in Egypt was at that time built 7 years after Hebron. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh received Sarai, the wife of Abraham, that the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house in great plagues because of Sarai his wife. And Abraham was very glorious by reason of possession in sheep and cattle and asses and horses and camels and men servants and maid servants and in silver and gold exceedingly. And Lot also, his brother's son, was wealthy. And Pharaoh gave back Sarai his wife to Abraham. And he sent him out to the land of Egypt, and he journeyed to the place where he had pitched his tent at the beginning, to the place of the altar, with Ai on the east and Bethel on the west, and he blessed the Lord his God, who had brought him back in peace. I want to stop for just a minute. Also found with the Dead Sea Scrolls was these testaments of the patriarchs. They were like journals or letters that are attributed to some of the ancient patriarchs. I've done 4 or 5 of these podcasts, and you can find them in the archives. And I did one, and I read the one that was attributed to Abraham, about this situation in Egypt where his wife Sarah was taken. And so I just want to read that part to you again, since we just read that out of Jubilees about that issue, because this gives us some pretty graphic detail about what happened with Abram coming into Egypt and then having Sarai taken from him by Pharaoh. Now, I have to warn you, like I did the first time I read this, that the description that the Egyptian servant of Pharaoh gives to Pharaoh about Sarah is very graphic. I mean, he's describing her beauty and all the ways that she's beautiful. So I'll just warn you up front. And I encourage you to go through the archives and find, all you have to do is, if you're on SoundCloud as an example, or you're on YouTube, just search TruthFed and Dead Sea, or search Dead Sea Scrolls on my channel, and you'll see where I did that whole podcast on this. So this was a testament found, attributed to Abraham, that was found with the Dead Sea Scrolls about that moment. I'm going to skip past the dream he has and go right into it. He says, "Then I awoke terrified." This is Abraham, supposedly Abraham. "And I said to my wife Sarai, 'I have had a horrible dream, and I am really afraid.' She said to me, 'Tell me your dream so that I understand.' I told the dream, and I said to her, 'The dream warns that there are those in Egypt who will kill me to get to you. So this is the kindness that you must do for me. If anyone asks you who I am, tell them he is my brother.'" Now, if you remember, the Bible tells us that Abram has Sarai say that she is his sister, which is not a complete lie, because she was in fact his half sister. But the reason, according to this testament, that he does that is because he has a horrible dream that they're going to try to kill him to take his beautiful wife. Moving forward, "In this way you will protect me, and my life will be spared. They will try to take you away from me and even kill me if necessary." Sarai wept that night because of what I had said. When we entered Zoan, a district of Egypt, she was so concerned that no man should see her that she concealed herself as best she could. After 5 years, 3 men of the nobles of Egypt, servants of the Pharaoh of Zoan, were coming to me to hear my words of wisdom. They gave me gifts and asked advice about their personal lives. So I read to them out of the book of Enoch." That's it. That's interesting. All right. And then, of course, the scroll was fragmented. So it jumps right from that into these servants must have seen Sarai, Abraham's wife, and they're telling Pharaoh about her. And it's a little bit graphic. "Her face is irresistible and so beautiful. Her forehead and soft glowing hair, her eyes, nose, every feature is perfect. She is a radiating beauty. And her breast, and oh, and her complexion, her arms and hands are perfect. Long, thin, and graceful hands and fingers. Her legs and feet are perfectly proportioned. She is more beautiful than any virgin or bride entering the bridal chamber. She is more beautiful than any woman that I have ever seen. And in addition to that, she has great wisdom. Everything about her is absolutely perfect. When the king heard everything, Hyrcanus, his two companions, said he really wanted her. He quickly sent someone to try to acquire her. When he saw her, he was completely dumbfounded by her beauty and just had to have her for a wife. He also started to kill me, but Sarah told him that I was her brother, so I was spared because of her. I, Abram, wept bitterly that night. I and Lot, my nephew, with me, when Sarai was forcibly taken from me, I begged God for mercy that night with tears running down my face. I prayed, "Bless the Most High God, Lord of all ages. You are the Lord and ruler over all creation. You rule over the kings of the earth and have the power to pass judgment on them. I cry out to you, my Lord. Pharaoh of Zoan, king of Egypt, has taken my wife away from me by force. Judge him for me. Reveal your mighty hand to him and all to his household. Please do not let him defile my wife. This way, they will know that you, my Lord, are the Lord over all the kings of the earth." I was so upset that I just could not stop crying. But that night, the Most High God sent a spirit that caused a disease to afflict him and his entire household. He was not able to have sexual relations with her. The affliction was ongoing, and after 2 years, the disease grew much worse. So he sent for all the wise men of Egypt, the magicians and physicians, to try and heal him and his household of the afflictions. Not only could they not heal them, but they became infected as well. They all fled. Then Hyrcanus came to me and asked if I would come lay hands on him and pray that he be healed. He asked this because he had seen this occur in a dream. But Lot interrupted him, saying, "Abraham, my uncle, cannot pray over the king while he holds his wife Sarai captive. Go tell your king to send Sarai back to her lawful husband. Only then can Abram pray over him. If he hurries, he might survive." When Hyrcanus heard what Lot said, he went and told the king, "The afflictions troubling my lord are the king are due to Sarai. She is the wife of Abram. If you send Sarai back to her husband, the affliction of this putrid spirit will vanish." So the king called for me. And when I came before him, he said, "What have you done to me? Why did you not tell me Sarai was your sister? Why did you tell me Sarai was your sister when she was really your wife? This is why I took her to be my wife. Here is your wife. Take her and go and get out of Egypt. But before you go, pray over me and my household so that this evil spirit will leave." And I laid my hands on his head and I prayed for his healing, and immediately the spirit left, and he and his household were restored to full health. Alright, there's a lot more in there, and I cover a lot of it in another podcast episode. Again, go search the archives to find that. But I wanted to share that with you because I think it's interesting to hear some of those details about what happened and how Sarai was taken from him. And I mean, 2 years she was gone. 2 years she was in Pharaoh's household. Man, that would be extremely tough, wouldn't it? And again, that was found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I just found that to be extremely interesting. And in case you've missed it and you didn't hear that, I thought I would share that with you since it's going along with what we're studying right now. "And it came to pass in the 41st Jubilee, in the 3rd year of the week, that he returned to this place and offered thereon a burnt sacrifice. And he called on the name of the Lord, and he said, Thou, the Most High God." By the way, I'm continuing in the book of Jubilees, that verse 16. "Thou, the Most High God, art my God forever and ever. And in the 4th year of this week, Lot parted from him, and Lot dwelt in Sodom. And the men of Sodom were sinners exceedingly. And it grieved him in his heart that his brother's son had parted from him, for he had no children. And that year Lot was taken captive. And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot had parted from him, in the 4th year of this week, lift up thine eyes from the place where thou art dwelling, northward and southward and westernward and easternward. For all the land which thou seest, I shall give to thee and to thy seed forever. And I shall make thy seed as the sand of the sea. Though a man may number the dust of the earth, yet thy seed shall not be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and in the length of it and the breadth of it, and see it all. For to thy seed shall I give it. And Abram went to Hebron and dwelt there. And in this year came Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Aphrael, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Selasar, and Tergal, king of nations, and slew the king of Gomorrah. And the king of Sodom fled, and many fell through wounds in the vale of Siddim by the salt sea. And they took captive Sodom, and Adam, and Zebion, and they took captive Lot also, the son of Abram's brother, and all his possessions, and they went to Dan. And one who had escaped came to told Abram his brother, told Abram that his brother's son had been taken captive. And Abram armed his household servants. And then unfortunately here it's fragmented, meaning that, you know, the scroll, there's a piece missing out of it. So we're missing a little bit of information, and then it jumps in right here. For Abram and for his seed, a tenth of the first fruits to the Lord, and the Lord ordained it as an ordinance for him that they should give it to the priest who served before him, and that they should possess it forever. And to the law there is no limit of days, for he hath ordained it for generations forever, that they should give to the Lord the tenth of everything, of the seed, and of the wine, and of the oil, and of the cattle, and of the sheep. And he gave it unto his priests to eat and drink with joy before him. And the king of Sodom came to him and bowed himself before him and said, Our Lord Abram, give unto us the souls which thou rescued, and let the booty be thine. And Abram said unto him, I lift up my hands to the Most High God, that from a thread to a shoe latchet I shall take not that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. Save only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, these will take their portion. And so we know from the story, from the Bible, that Abraham armed his household and went and rescued Lot from those who had taken Sodom captive. And then, of course, you have the whole Melchizedek thing, and the tithes and all that. And so that's what that's dealing with, but there's the scroll's fragmented, so we're missing a chunk of that. All right, let's go ahead and read chapter 14, which is only 25 verses, and then we'll be done with our study in the book of Jubilees this morning, and I pray that it's blessing you. Verse 1. After these things, in the fourth year of this week, on the new moon of the third month, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a dream, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy defender, and thy reward will be exceedingly great. And he said, Lord, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go hence childless? And the son of Mesech, the son of my handmaid, is the Damsek Eleazar, he will be my heir. And to me thou hast given no seed. And he said unto him, This man will not be thy heir, but one that will come out of thy own bowels. He will be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said unto him, Look toward heaven, and number the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he looked toward heaven, and beheld the stars, and he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Of course, and that's also a famous line out of the Bible scriptures, and one that is quoted in the New Testament, that Abraham believed. So he believed the Lord's promises, and it was accounted to him to righteousness. And my friends, that is true for us. If we will believe, it's all by faith. If you believe, it'll be accounted to you as righteousness. That's all God wants from us, is to trust him and to believe. Not superficially, not just in words, but really truly believe in our hearts. Verse 7, And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur and of the Chaldees to give thee the land of the Canaanites to possess it forever. And I shall be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And he said, Lord, Lord, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years, and a goat of 3 years, and a sheep of 3 years, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And he took all these in the middle of the month, and he dwelt at the oak of Mamre, which is near Hebron. And he built there an altar, and sacrificed all these, and he poured their blood upon the altar, and divided them in the midst, and laid them over against each other. But the birds divided he not. And the birds came down upon the pieces, and Abram drove them away, and did not suffer the birds to touch them. And it came to pass, when the sun had set, that an ecstasy fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And it was said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed will be a stranger in the land, not heirs, and they will bring them into bondage and afflict them 400 years. And the nation also to whom they will be in bondage shall I judge. And after that they will come forth thence with much substance. And thou wilt go to thy fathers in peace and be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they will return hither, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And he awoke from his sleep, and he arose, and the sun had set, and there was a flame, and behold, a furnace was smoking, and a flame of fire passed between the pieces. And on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To thy seed will I give this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Pharacarites, and the Hivites, and Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And the day passed, and Abram offered the pieces and the birds, and their fruit offerings, and their drink offerings, and the fire devoured them. And on that day we made a covenant with Abram, according to as we had covenanted with Noah in this month. And Abram renewed the festival of the ordinance for himself forever. And Abram rejoiced and made all these things known unto Sarai his wife. And he believed that he would have a seed, but she did not bear. And Sarai advised for her husband Abram, and said unto him, Go into Hagar, my Egyptian maid. It may be that I shall build up seed unto thee by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai his wife, and he said unto her, Do so. And Sarai took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to Abram, and her husband to be his wife. And he went into her, and she conceived and bare him a son, and called his name Ishmael. In the fifth year of this week, and this was the 86th year in the life of Abram. All right, that is chapters 13 and 14 out of the ancient book of Jubilees found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that it blessed you, that you found it interesting. And again, like I said, we don't treat it with the same reverence as we do the actual Bible. But it's interesting to have some of those gaps filled in, historical gaps. And that's how I look at these books, as historical narrative, historical information. I like to use the example of if I go to the library and I find a biography about Abraham Lincoln, as an example, the historical information about Abraham Lincoln in that book would be true. But that doesn't make it scripture, right? That doesn't make it God-breathed. The Bible is God-breathed. I believe these other books, these historical books, are just that, historical narratives. And I think that they're for people who want to seek out that information. For those who have a heart and desire to, and a hunger for more. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, what an amazing find. What an amazing find. The greatest discovery of our generation. I mean, to have the oldest manuscripts of the Bible now and have them be completely accurate with what we have today, just confirming that God preserves his word just as he promised. And then to have these Testaments of the Patriarchs and the Book of Jubilees and the Book of Enoch. I mean, man, amazing stuff. All right. That is the broadcast for this morning. Thank you again for your support, for your prayers, far more than I deserve. And I'm very humbled and very blessed by all of you. And I just pray that this work is really making a difference in your lives. All right, that's all I got for you. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.